Oh my goodness. Good morning. Good afternoon. Whatever it is for you, I hope you're having a fantastic day. My name is Zach Schaumler. This is Strong Opinion Sports, episode 539. I don't know why I did the thing with my fingers. I panicked, and then I was like, how do I make a nine with my fingers? Welcome in. Joining me today is my father, Stephen Schaumler, as always. Dad, how are you?
I'm doing great, particularly now that I've heard my oh my goodness for the day. That it's been a long day, so that's a good, that brightens my day all the time.
Do you like my haircut? What do you think?
I love your haircut. It's fantastic. I just saw it on your Instagram story and I went, wow, he got it whacked. It looks good.
It's a lot easier to maintain. I'm excited about that.
I'm jealous. I have to go, I think, up to the Oregon Coast Friday unexpectedly to do some filming, and I'm supposed to get my haircut Friday. I leave for Kauai on Monday, and I may have to go with shaggy hair, which would be terrible.
Oh, yeah, you're totally roughing it. Your hair's everywhere right now. You look like, you know, you look like Chris Bianco. So Chris Bianco, that guy, pizza guy we talked about last week, his hair is straight up like Einstein, a mad scientist, all the time. And that's, I've seen him now in person twice. That's every time I've seen him, and on camera, it's like that every time. And that's who he is, and I love it. I got to say real quick, we'll talk more about this later, but I want to mention now, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp and Rocket League. More Rocket League. Rocket Money. Rocket League's a video game. Rocket Money sponsored the show. So did BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. We'll talk about them later in the show. Today is all about the Super Bowl. I can't wait to hear what you think. I've got some good thoughts, some discouraging thoughts, but it's more than just a game to me. It's also like an event. So what I want to hear first is your setup. Like, tell me about how you watched the game and where and what you ate. Tell me about that experience.
So I went to a family member's house, and I had commandeered the couch right in front of the TV. I had right before me, I had chicken wings, I had chips, I had cheese, I had avocado, I had my yellow pad. A blue pen and a red pen. And I tell you, I was so fired up to watch the Super Bowl this time because I had to get to make a show with you and I had to talk like a half a clue. So it was like, I'm a fan and I get to talk about it. It was fired me up so much.
Yeah, there is something about football, but you have to pay an extra level of attention when you're going to talk about it, which for me makes the game more fun to watch. Like I've always felt that way. Like if there's been nothing else in the last 5 years of doing Strong Opinion Sports, it's that I've enjoyed analyzing and like watching football more intently. Like that's definitely the best thing about this. I watched the game. So I got invited to this media event thing and I hate those events. We talked about this last week and a couple weeks ago, someone in the mainstream media I ran into was kind of rude to me and they were going to be at the event. And I was like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to do this like weird. Dick measuring contest at an event. I hate all that crap. I don't like it. I just don't. It's not my thing. And so I actually hung out with a guy named Sanders, who's a longtime supporter of Strong Opinion Sports, and he invited me out with his friends. So I watched the Super Bowl with Sanders and his friends. I learned about Arizona marching band because every one of his friends, their whole friend group is marching band directors across like the Phoenix area. And they're very competitive. It's like hanging out with all the head coaches, but they're all friends when the season is over. And so it was so interesting to hear like all their perspectives. And oh, Sanders is great. And his friend Callie made homemade soft pretzels. And then Sanders made beer cheese. And then my favorite person that I watched the Super Bowl with was this guy named Austin. And Austin knew very little about football, but that made his commentary even more interesting. Like, I just, everything Austin had to say was hilarious and funny, and it was just a really great time. I really, a shout out to Sanders and his group of friends for bringing me in and treating me like one of their own. I had such a good time, and I wouldn't have wanted to watch, maybe with you is the only person I would have rather watched with, but I had one of my favorite Super Bowl watching experiences in a long time because of them. And, it was so much fun.
And so you had a good place to watch the game.
Correct.
And you had good food.
Yeah, dude. Austin brought sushi. I had beer cheese. I had pretzels. I had so much good food. I had a blueberry wheat beer it was a Big Blue Van from Four Peaks Brewing. I think, no, College Street Brewing, which I think is in the Arizona area. But I had this I like light fruity beers, you know me. So I have like a blueberry wheat beer and it was, I loved it. I was so happy. I had like three of them, which is too much for me, and it was a good time.
As long as you didn't dip the sushi in the beer cheese, then we're good. That would be bad.
then that never happened. That would never have
okay.
done that.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah. What kind of psychopath would dip sushi into beer cheese?
I don't know. Just making sure. That's where my head went. I got like, can't have that.
I want to start. Let's talk about the game. I have a lot to say. I think we need to start here. There have been four moments this year where the NFL has tested me. I love football, but the NFL specifically has made it hard for me to be a fan of them. And one of them's not really fair. The DeMar Hamlin moment really jolted my fandom of football. Like, I was just watching that live where a guy, you know, died on the field, was like horrifying. And then watching some of the awful roughing the passer calls really tested my fandom of football. I'm like, God, how is that a flag? That's ridiculous. And then watching the AFC title game 2 weeks ago against, you know, between Cincinnati and Kansas City, we broke it all down. I tried to be as fair as I could, and watching Kansas City get a replay on third down was total ridiculousness. But I tried. I always try to be really kind to the refs and be fair and give them the benefit of the doubt. And the way this Super Bowl ended, this glorious, really fun game, it was 35-35, and the refs made their presence known with 2 minutes left and really significantly impacted the game. And I, if you've listened to me for years, you know, my best friend's dad was a ref. I know how hard it is to be a ref. I totally always try to be fair. And a game never comes down to one play. But man, holy mother of whatever. I really just deflated as a football fan when the Chiefs got a holding call with 2 minutes left to give them a first down and basically allow them to run at the clock and kick the game when he fell goal with 6 seconds left. I don't know how you continue with this. It's been a year of horrible calls from refs all year long. And this was, man, it just broke my spirit a lot. And I went to bed exhausted and tired and discouraged. And I'm curious if you share my sentiments.
So I'm glad I had a day to process. I had an interesting thing happen toward the end of the game, before the end of the game, which impacted my experience. But overall, it kind of felt like I had just a fantastic, incredible meal. And then the waiter brought out the best dessert I've ever had and set it before me, and then turned and walked away and turned back Columbo style. You ever watch Columbo?
No.
He wore a rumply coat.
Okay.
He wore a rumply coat. He's this cool detective, and he kind of played like an absent-minded detective. And all of a sudden, you know he's interviewing the murderer, and he knows the murderer did it. And then he asks the dumb question, and the murderer's like, ha ha, I got away. And he walks away from the murderer. And then he turns back, and then you know when he turns back, he's going to ask the question that proves he's a murderer. It's like his signature move. So in my little analogy, the waiter puts his dessert down and says, here he goes, beautiful dessert. And he turns and walks away. Then he turns back, Columbo style, and says, by the way, don't eat that dessert. The chef spit in it. And it's like, oh, even though that's the last few little bit of the meal, and the meal was absolutely fantastic, it really soured the experience tremendously. The ribeye was great. You know, the appetizers were fantastic. The cocktails were amazing. The wine was good. But the chef spit in the dessert. Oh, that's how I felt.
Yeah, it was such a good game. It felt like that final call for me ruined the experience. And I hate that that's true. And what's really frustrating is I know that people are going to say I'm a Chiefs hater and all this stuff. I don't care if Kansas City had won. I thought it was pretty insane and really cool that Andy Reid beat Philadelphia. Like, that's such a fun story. But, like, when I watched 2 weeks ago, the Chiefs got this what felt like total – can you bleep me out? Just call that pissed me off. But I was the – In the show between you and me, I was the one who was trying to be reasoned and fair. But then for that same team that got an unfair call, which felt like 2 weeks ago, to again get a call from the refs, it just tainted the entire Super Bowl for me. And I saw Chiefs people celebrating, and I'm like, I don't know, man. And I got to give credit to – I'll defend Philly, but the Eagles organization, the players, the coaches, they took extreme ownership of what happened and – would not make excuses and would not blame the refs. And I really admire them. And I think it speaks a lot about their leadership from Jason Kelsey and Jalen Hurts and top to bottom, everyone in that locker room, because not a single Eagles player made any excuses after the game. And I respect them for that. But I'll make the excuses for them. It was ridiculous to me. And was it technically, technically holding? Yeah, it was. It was holding. Even James Bradbury, the guy who committed holding, would tell you it's holding. But, like, how do you rob what could have been, like, an overtime game from us, the fans? I just felt like it was I love football, man, and I wanted this dramatic, fun ending. And instead, we got the most anticlimactic ending that felt like BS, and it was really frustrating for me. And I just, I'm happy for the Chiefs, I guess. It was weird that Patrick Mahomes got MVP. I don't know, like, I don't understand that, really. I guess I had to give it to somebody. I thought Kadarius Toney could have probably got MVP with that awesome punt return at the end, plus the go-ahead touchdown. I like you, just, I wish I could look back on the Super Bowl and be like, what a great game it was, because for, you know, three and a half quarters, it was such an incredible game. The final 2 minutes really ruined it. And I'm like, man, I just can't get over it. I'm really saddened by it.
Yeah, I'm. We'll come back to what really impacted it for me before that play. But I just think all my life, the rest of my life, you know, if when they say that Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's won, you know, 8 Super Bowls, I'll think to myself, Patrick Mahomes won 7, and Patrick Mahomes and the refs won one. It'll always be kind of tainted in my head. I may or may not say it out loud, but I'll always think 2 games in a row, he got some calls that they're just tainted victories to me. If I was a fan, I don't know that I would celebrate loudly. You know, I would have been very happy if he'd have just flat beat them. I would have been excited for him. I picked the Eagles because I thought they were going to win, and it would have been fun for me to Jalen Hurts win. But if he'd have just flat out performed, I mean, I like Patrick Mahomes. He just seems like he loves the game, and he plays so excited and so happy. And if he'd have just beat them and won, I would have been happy for them. And just like you said, happy for Andy Reid, and it would have been a joyous thing. But it just feels tainted to me, and it probably will be. I'll probably always look at the Super Bowl as I saw some really good commercials that I really liked for comic book movies. I had a fun time. I got to do this episode with you, and Patrick Mahomes and the refs beat the Eagles. And I don't know that that's entirely true, but that's how it feels.
Yeah, I would imagine this is how a lot of people feel about Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady, people call him the luckiest quarterback of all time, and certainly the Tuck Rule game is probably tainted that Super Bowl that he won right after that. You know, there's going to be so much comparison between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. And I now empathize a little more with people who hate on Brady and call him lucky. I don't think he got lucky that many times. And I don't think Mahomes gets lucky. Like, Mahomes isn't he dominates. Mahomes is incredible. I want that clear. But this one will always kind of feel like it has an asterisk in my head. I want to just give you a bit of analysis or a bit of thought about the comparison between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, because here's an interesting difference to me. Tom Brady felt attainable. Like, when I watched Tom Brady play, it was a product of his hard work and preparation. If you prepare hard enough and you work hard enough, you might be able to play like Tom Brady, because he had flaws in his game. He was never the fastest. He was never the biggest, the strongest. Tom Brady wasn't a perfect, complete player. Tom Brady was kind of like, maybe Batman's a great analogy. Tom Brady was Batman. Batman didn't have all this. Batman was prepared and did a lot of the work behind the scenes, where Superman is kind of overpowered as a superhero. Like, I don't know how anyone beats Superman, like, straight up in a fight, because he's stronger, he can fly, he's got X-ray vision, he's got laser beams. Like, it's insane how overpowered Superman is, and I think it makes Superman a less interesting character to watch in comic books or in TV or movies. I've always been more drawn to Batman, who's got flaws and weaknesses, than Superman. And Patrick Mahomes, to me, is such a complete, incredible player. And this is a compliment to him. He does everything. He can run. He can throw. He can make throws like insane. Tom Brady was never going to make a throw falling to his left back across the field to the right. And Patrick Mahomes does that on the regular. And Patrick Mahomes ran for like a bunch of yards in the Super Bowl. Stuff that Tom Brady could never do. And for me, that's actually where Patrick Mahomes loses me, is he's actually so gifted and going to dominate for so many years. It kind of makes it less interesting to me. And I would go back to this. Patrick Mahomes reminds me of Superman. A person without any flaws or weaknesses is less interesting to watch. It's actually a compliment to how incredible he is. But I no matter how hard you prepare, you're not going to be able to do what Patrick Mahomes does. And you could play like Brady if you prepared hard enough. And that, it may be even another comparison, is LeBron James to Steph Curry. Like, Steph Curry is shorter and less talented, but he's really good at shooting threes. And that comes from hard work and preparation, where You're not going to be 6'11 and dunk and hit threes like LeBron James unless you're born with that. And some of what Patrick Mahomes does is so gifted and incredible that it actually it makes me less interested. And I know that's not entirely fair, and Chiefs fans will freak out and get mad at me, but what do you have to say to all that, that philosophy and that theory of Patrick Mahomes is more like, you know, Superman and Brady was more Batman?
I think it's definitely how it feels. I also think that it's pretty clear to me, I guess my own opinion is that Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I have super huge admiration for Tom Brady's victories and the way he played and his leadership and everything. And all the things I love about Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes has. I just think he's that much better. And it's kind of shocking to me that for such a young player who has, well, he's been around 5 years, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
That, yep. He's the best. I don't know if I'll ever see a better quarterback. It'd be interesting if I did. But he is just incredible. I just have a lot of admiration and awe for what he does.
Yeah, I want to echo that. Patrick Mahomes, let's be clear, is the best quarterback I've ever seen play football in my entire life. And Tom Brady might have the most accomplishments currently, but Mahomes is way better than Tom Brady ever was. It's like, you're right. It leaves you awestruck. You're like, I can't. And he's so good, it's inevitable. This is my fear for the rest of the NFL, his career. Is Burrow's fun and exciting, and Josh Allen's interesting, and Justin Herbert's good, but the reality is Patrick Mahomes is going to dominate this league for years and years and years, and that inevitability kind of it discourages me. It's like, oh man, like is it really like the next 10 Super Bowls or whatever? You know, is it really just almost every year going to be Patrick Mahomes? Because it feels that way now. Like, I worry for Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, the people who, you know, Joe Burrow maybe once in a blue moon is going to get in the way and stop Patrick Mahomes, and he'll be the guy instead. But right now, for the next 10 years, it feels like Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl to lose. And I don't love that. I wish it wasn't true.
I do love it, because if you think about Tom Brady's career, I have three words for you. New York Giants.
So maybe the moment to look.
He lost multiple Super Bowls to the stupid New York Giants, who I like now, but at the time I was not like, oh, the Giants could have a chance to win the Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady. Are you kidding me? And they did twice.
So the unexpected stuff that we can't foresee is what is going to be interesting in the next 10 years.
Yeah, and I think that also the NFL's changed a lot. And, you know, for example, it would not shock me at all. I would have zero shock if we have the exact same Super Bowl next year, because I think the way the Eagles responded, I mean, usually you have a big hangover and you're terrible the next year, but the way they respond after the game, like you said, was incredibly emotionally mature. And I think they're just like, we're going to fight and we're going to get back. You know, it probably is good that they're going to lose their defensive coordinator, because obviously he didn't know how to make halftime adjustments. Am I wrong? Did I not see? I guess the adjustments made the team worse.
What was frustrating was they call a touchdown. I believe it's to Kadarius Toney, where they throw to him wide open in the flat. That gives them a 28-27 lead. You remember that, when Kadarius Toney's wide open on the right flat near the end zone? And then the very next
corndog shuttle.
Yes. So the very next drive, they did the same thing with, I believe, Juju Smith-Schuster to the left side of the field. And it's like, did you not learn?
Sky Moore.
Yeah. It's like, you got to switch. You got to have a guy in the flat, and no one's in the flat. And that's a bad coaching point to not, hey, let's not do that again. Let's expect that. And the Chiefs ran the exact same play basically to the other side of the field and didn't. And once again, we're wide open. That's irritating and frustrating.
But that was good coaching. But back to my point, before we go off on that tangent, because that's a beautiful tangent, is sure. I think that the NFL's changed a little bit than it did years ago, where it's really defense and creativity. And I think the margins are closer than maybe people would like to admit, because if he hadn't accidentally dropped that ball, then it's they still win. Because then Right. And so I wouldn't be surprised, given how creative and everything is, if it's the same battle next year, you know, I don't know who I'll pick, but I'm not going to be surprised if either team wins. So I think there's, even though it feels inevitable, I think you're right, there's some inevitability. You know, Thanos liked to say, I'm inevitable. You know, I love it when Tony Stark said, I'm Iron Man. I absolutely love that. And there's some inevitability. He's almost like Thanos. But I think there's a Tony Stark out there that Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts, I think, could occasionally take him down. You know, Doctor Strange, you know, held up his finger. There's one shot. And I want to see that one shot. I want to see that one time that it happens.
Yeah, there are occasional moments where Mahomes loses. I mean, he lost to Tom Brady by a ton of points in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, right? So it's not every year, but it certainly – so paired along with that inevitability is that there's going to be occasional moments of Joe Burrow beats him in the AFC title game and he goes to the Super Bowl instead. They lost to the Rams, but last year the Super Bowl was Joe Burrow, not Patrick Mahomes. And there are going to be years where it's the small moments where people catch him that's going to be interesting. But I want to say this now. I love what you said. You're right. Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen. And it's from all angles. It's leadership. It's his comfortability in the moment. It's the way he can make plays that no one else in the history of the game has been able to make. His ability to read defenses. Like, it's so cool. I think this is really easy to kind of overlook. Mahomes has gotten so much better as a player. Like, he really has progressed so far, and it's a testament to what hard work can do. I think that's Brady was known for hard work because it was obvious I had to work hard to succeed. Patrick Mahomes makes it look so easy. And what I hope doesn't get overlooked is that clearly Mahomes works his tail off to, he just is a master reading defenses. And the rare times he does slip up, he's got the physical tools to make stuff work anyway. And Brady never had that. If Brady made the wrong read, it was over. He would get sacked or throw a pick or was terrible. Mahomes is just a complete perfect player where if he makes a mistake and makes the wrong read or calls the wrong play or the wrong check the line of scrimmage, he can still on the fly make something else happen and reverse pivot or do some kind of crazy stuff. And I really hope that my tone in this episode isn't one of disappointment and people take it as I don't like Patrick Mahomes, because you're right. I'm in awe of him too. And he does so many things that are just like, how is that even? Do you remember that run he had up the middle, like late in the game, where you're like, he must have so much cortisol in his freaking leg, because like, half the time he's limping off the field, and by the fourth quarter, he's running up the middle for like 30 yards, and you're like, how is this humanly possible? He's an alien. He's a superhuman. He's Superman. And yeah, it's incredible. And
back to the inevitability point is, how long is Andy Reid going to stay? Because I really think part of his success is Andy Reid.
Well, that'll be interesting, right? Like, when Andy Reid does eventually retire or move on, there's going to be an inflection point where we see, like, what can Mahomes do without Andy Reid? And that's why I've been lobbying for Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, to stick around. Because if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm like, I got a great life. We're winning Super Bowls. Get to work with Patrick Mahomes. And someday, Andy Reid's going to move on, and why not? Why can't I just be the next guy, and we can keep on, you know, you carry on where we left off. And I love that thought. And I'm curious if I don't know that Eric Bieniemy's going to leave, at least not this year. And I don't know why he would ever want to leave. I think your life's great. You have a good time, and you win a lot. It's also worth pointing out, it's funny to see Matt Nagy. Do you remember Matt Nagy, the Bears former head coach? He's in the room winning Super Bowl. Like, it's so, because he started with Andy Reid. Became the Bears head coach, didn't work with Trubisky, it all failed and fell apart. And then now he's back with Andy Reid and winning a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. And it's really cool to see that. Remember, he was there when Patrick Mahomes got drafted. I believe Matt Nagy was the offensive coordinator at that time. Then he goes to the Bears to work with Trubisky, who famously the Bears picked Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. And I love the stat that since 2017, when the Bears drafted Trubisky number 2 overall and didn't draft Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, the Bears have 0 playoff wins and Patrick Mahomes has 2 Super Bowls. But it's kind of an interesting thing to see Matt Nagy, a guy who's got clowned on and hated on a lot. Cool to see him raise the trophy and win a Super Bowl too. I'm happy for him.
Before I tell you what my sources have told me of Eric Bieniemy, I have special news for you.
Yeah, your
from
sources.
My sources.
Yes.
That's right.
Can we call them like Martian Manhunter or something? Like, you know,
they're secret sources. No,
oh,
like,
I can't. Yeah.
So let's talk about Rocket Money.
Okay. Rocket Money, let me get this out here. I've got a question, Dad, and you know the answer to this. Are you wasting money on subscriptions? Because a lot of people, in fact, 80% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about. And maybe for you, Dad, it's an Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account you never use. But there's this app I use that helps me track all the money I spend and kind of figure out like what exactly am I spending and on what. So I owe Rocket Money a big thank you for sponsoring this episode. Rocket Money used to be known as Truebill. Now they're Rocket Money. And it shows you all of your subscriptions in one place and then cancels whatever you don't want. And Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you had. Once upon a time, I was subscribed to, I forget the name, SoundCloud. And I knew I was subscribed to them, but I couldn't cancel it. They helped me cancel it for me. And it's really simple. You hit the cancel button and they cancel it for you. They take care of the rest. And I really like Rocket Money for that. So you can get rid of useless subscriptions now if you go to rocketmoney.com/SOS. Legit, it could save you hundreds of dollars a year. That's rocketmoney.com/SOS. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions now at rocketmoney.com/SOS. In this economy, I love anything that helps you save a buck. And so Rocket Money does that. I think they're a great sponsor. They're great behind the scenes. You've heard the pitch a lot if you listen to the show regularly. I love Rocket Money, and they can help you cancel your subscriptions very easily and save some money. How was that, Dad? I was caught off guard. I wasn't ready for you to pitch me the
ad. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay.
I'm sorry. It just felt like, right.
I got to go with it. Okay.
And what I like is that behind the scenes, even before I was involved in talking to you, I had a hand in helping with sponsors. And we never had a sponsor that you didn't feel good about, that you didn't believe in.
Correct.
It's fun to me that you have genuine enthusiasm. Like Rocket Money really did help you. Anyways, it's cool.
Well, I got to say, I famously have never taken money from a gambling sponsor, and that I would love the money would be great, but I really struggle with that, to sleep at night with that, by taking their money. Well,
and that's the good news about me being in, is if we do get a gambling sponsor, I could do the reads, and then the wickedness is on me. I'm happy to take that money.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not in a position to turn down money at this point in my life. So I'll take the money, I guess. But I will pound the table. I've never taken a sponsor from anyone I don't like and really feel good about. And I'm very proud of that.
That's why I'm here now, because I can read through the reads for the gambling and to take the burden of it on my shoulders.
And I'll take the money and just keep my mouth shut.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, yeah, we do love Rocket Money. So back to my sources and Eric Bieniemy. Listening around the edges, it is interesting that when Andrew was talking about the special plays, including that special play where they got two touchdowns, where there was nobody within 10 yards, which hasn't ever really happened before in the NFL, in the Super Bowl, not in the NFL, but in the Super Bowl, is that he talked about, well, these great plays, my team, they just come from the offense, my coaches are just so amazing. He never gave credit to Eric Bieniemy. He never gave credit to him. And I think it's fascinating. And I heard some reports that people have interviewed Eric Bieniemy and like, well, he was fine, but there wasn't a lot there. So I'm not convinced that Eric Bieniemy is necessarily the offensive genius behind all of it. And all of the praise went to Andy Reid for this game and what an offensive genius he is. And I heard lots of people saying and how magnificent it is. So it makes me wonder, maybe Eric Bieniemy is happy being the offensive coordinator and having behind Andy Reid, and maybe he isn't head coach material. I don't know. I've never met the man. I have no idea, but I'm just going to be fascinated to see how that plays out over the next few years.
I want to make a reference to a movie director. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino, you may or may not know this. He did not write Pulp Fiction by himself. Did you know that? He co-wrote Pulp Fiction.
I did not.
He won the best written, whatever the Oscar is for best writing, he won it with someone else, a guy named Austin or Aaron. I can't remember the guy's name, something else. But Tarantino over the years has mentioned him less and less. And then eventually in re-releasing Pulp Fiction, even says like written by Tarantino. And that's the only name you see. And it's like, dude, you didn't write the movie by yourself. My point is, Tarantino over the years has kind of seems like he's kind of bought into his own hype and become a bit of an egomaniac. And it's been a roller coaster, and he was for a while. Maybe he's not now. I don't know the updated drama, but for a while it felt like Tarantino was taking credit happily, solely, and it made me feel like he was an egomaniac a little bit. I don't get the sense that Andy Reid is an egomaniac. I think I don't think Andy Reid is stealing someone else's glory. I think Andy Reid genuinely is the mastermind, and I think he hires people that are smart to contribute. But we saw Matt Nagy on his own in Chicago, and it was awful. Like, Matt Nagy left Andy Reid and wasn't as good. And that's one small example, but I think this special sauce in Kansas City, it helps to have Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback for you. But Andy Reid's the guy. He's the guy who creates all this stuff and the mastermind behind the scenes. And I wouldn't be, I know your quote sources, it's just speculation, but I kind of, it makes sense to me that I hear what you're saying. And it's not, there's not no reason why Eric Bieniemy's never been hired. Like, you know what I mean? It's been years now. He's interviewed a lot, and there's something there.
Yeah. So I have a crazy fan question for you. You know, my crazy football fan, not really an analyst question. And I'm not trying to be offensive. And I'm not trying to be provocative or ask a crazy, you know, it's not a hot take. It's a sincere question. And I have a perspective, which could be ludicrous. It's entirely possible it is. But who played better this game? Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes? Who's the better quarterback this game?
Well, I have their stats in front of me. Can I read them? I think that gives a little bit of context. Okay.
Yeah.
Stats aren't everything. Yeah. Let's be clear about that. But Patrick Mahomes is 21 for 27 passing with 182 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also ran for 44 yards. He won the MVP. Jalen Hurts was 27 for 38 passing for 304 yards, 1 touchdown pass. He also ran for 70 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I think Jalen Hurts had a key fumble that you could argue cost his team the game. It was the difference in the game. I don't know that one was better than the other, because for part of why Mahomes' stats are a little bit lower is simply because he wasn't on the field as much. Like, in the first half, Philadelphia had the ball the entire time, and one of the touchdowns scored was on defense. So, like, that was enough. It was like 23 minutes or something in a row that Mahomes wasn't even on the field. And then even in the second half, Kadarius Toney had this like 65-yard kick return. So Mahomes had to do very little to win this game, in my opinion. That's not a knock on Mahomes. It's just he had fewer opportunities, if that makes sense. Now, that's all the context required. To me, the answer is Jalen Hurts played a better game. Jalen Hurts was the star. And if nothing else, I think Jalen Hurts really hopefully impressed a lot of people and made people go, oh, this guy's not a bum after all. Because I think still, even to this day, or even up until the game, people thought Jalen Hurts was carried by a really good roster. And we saw Jalen Hurts rise to the occasion in the Super Bowl and I think go blow for blow with Patrick Mahomes and really fall in stride. And you said something earlier that a play here and there, Philadelphia wins this game. And that says something to me. Like, if you can hold your own against Patrick Mahomes, that's not nothing to me. And so I think Jalen Hurts played a better game. It was weird to me Patrick Mahomes got the MVP. I thought that you can't give the MVP to the losing player, but this is where the refs really frustrated me. The refs make this call. It allows Kansas City to run out the clock. I was convinced that if Kansas City got stopped, because they did get stopped on third down, it's fourth down, fourth and long, they would have kicked a field goal, had a 38-35 lead. Jalen Hurts with the ball, 2 minutes left, I was convinced he's at least going to drive down the field and kick a field goal, because KC had not been able to stop Jalen Hurts all game long. The only time they stopped him was when he fumbled. So, man, I'm really disappointed we didn't get to see Jalen Hurts with the ball in the final 2 minutes and an opportunity to drive down the field. That's just why I hate the way this game ended, is it felt like the refs decided it rather than giving Jalen Hurts a final opportunity. I just spewed a lot of information at you. What say you?
I just think Jalen Hurts played out of his mind. And he did have that fumble, which was unfortunate. But for me, from where I sit as a Clueless fan, Jalen Hurts played better football. He was a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. And I think part of it is Patrick Mahomes just didn't have a lot of opportunities. And I think the differences in the game, the reason the, for me, the reason that the, the Chiefs won was not Patrick Mahomes, but it was the Eagles' defense was blowing chunks and doing absolutely terrible. And then two particular plays that were mind-blowingly incredible. And what softened the blow for me, for me not just losing my mind when that flag was called, is at, with 9 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game, I sent out a tweet on my Twitter account. Obviously, that's where you send tweets. I didn't do a tweet on my Instagram. And I said, you know, see, what did I say? Let me make sure I get it right. I want to get it exactly right. I feel like, you know, looking up while we're stalling for time.
it's fun to watch you scramble.
my tweet said, and with 9 minutes and 22 seconds left of the game, Kansas City has won Super Bowl 57. Put a fork in Philly. They are done. And then I put a little tear face because I'm not rejoicing over this. I'm sad about it. And so I already was convinced it's over at nine because they scored that touchdown. The defense was playing terrible up to that point. The guy was more than 10 yards open. Kadarius Toney, and it was awful. And I'm like, okay, it's over. And there's no way that they can win. The Eagles, because the defense is doing too bad, and the Chiefs have their number. And so that's why I didn't lose my mind. It's like, yeah, of course, it's just not going to happen. Now, I was discouraged. I wasn't happy about that, but I knew at 9 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game, it was over. Done dinner.
Yeah, I expected Mahomes to do something interesting in the fourth quarter. I thought Mahomes' best game or best ball was played in the fourth quarter. I like what you said. The Chiefs didn't win because of Mahomes. They won because of a huge punt return, a defensive touchdown. But, you know, Mahomes made some big plays. Like, let's say that. But why did the Eagles have 35 points? Why were the Eagles in this game? It wasn't because of their defense. It wasn't because of their special teams. It was because of their quarterback. And that's what, like, who was more valuable to their team on Super Bowl Sunday? I think actually Jalen Hurts, which is like a crazy. How cool is that to be able to say that, by the way, that Jalen Hurts might have even outperformed Patrick Mahomes is a wild thing to be able to say, because to me it's true. I have no problem with Mahomes winning. I'm happy he won. He had six incompletions on the day. Like he played a pretty flawless football game, nearly mistake free, which is like really really hard to do. But I don't understand why Mahomes won the MVP. That's like a really weird thing that's going to stick with me for a long time. I guess they just didn't know who to give it to, but I got the name written down. Nick Bolton had the defensive touchdown for Kansas City. I thought he maybe should have won the MVP. I thought that Kadarius Toney, the go-ahead touchdown, he only had one catch, though, for 5 yards, so I get why like his stats aren't big. He also had that massive punt return for 65 yards that set up KC's second touchdown in the fourth quarter. I just, maybe because there was no one obvious to give it to, they gave it to Patrick Mahomes, because like by default, you give it to the winning quarterback. But I just thought it was weird Patrick Mahomes won the MVP. I don't know if you share that sentiment. If the Eagles had won, it would have been clearly Jalen Hurts. Yeah. But, like, was Mahomes the most valuable player to Kansas City? I guess? I don't know who else you give it to.
I think he was when you – I think he was if you think about Aaron Rodgers. You know that I was going to weave Aaron Rodgers into
this. You always find a way.
Because when they were – I can't wait till we talk about the darkness retreat. But if you think about how it was not till 9 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game that they're roughly that they went, they took the lead. So they were down first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and on the sidelines consistently, you saw him encouraging his team. And so I don't know that his value is necessarily in the stats for this game, but I think his team won. So you're not going to give it to a losing team's player. And if his team won, I think he is the most valuable player on his team, even though he's not the reason necessarily as far as stats go that they won. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, I think that's another,
he's their leader. He's their inspiration. He kept him in the game.
Well, that's another way Mahomes is just incredible, man. Like he's such a good leader. He's so young and he's still like, I get it. He's won MVPs. He's won a Super Bowl. Like part of that success leads to people looking to you. But when they look to Patrick Mahomes, he's exactly what they need. Like he steers the ship. He's the captain. He's so calm. He's collected. He's encouraging. He never loses faith. Like I really love that. I think, you know, Mahomes is so talented. It does so many eye popping highlight level plays that I think the things about him that are easy to forget are his hard work, his preparation, and his leadership. And it's, I just tip my cap. I worry sometimes that people think I hate Patrick Mahomes, and it just couldn't be further from the truth. He's so good. I almost like, I'm just kind of, what do you talk about other than you can't praise the guy for the same thing after every game. You know what I mean? Like after a while, it's like, I've said all this before, but I don't think some of this stuff I've ever said, like his leadership blows me away, man. And I really, it's awesome. I'm in awe of him.
And just so we're clear, the reason I mentioned Aaron Rodgers is because he is a terrible leader, and he should take lessons in the Patrick Mahomes School of Leadership.
Yeah,
I get so sick and tired of people saying Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback when you think of people like Tom Brady, who doesn't have as many skills maybe as Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, who's a better leader, and Patrick Mahomes is a better leader and has more skills than Aaron Rodgers. Anyways.
Can I say this, man? Let me say this. So what? I'm not going to ignore everything you said about Aaron Rodgers. Just let you hang yourself, okay? Have fun with that. But I think the rivalry in the AFC was expected to be Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, correct? The real rivalry in the AFC is...
Yes, not by me, but by a lot of people.
Like after that game they played last year where it went to overtime and Josh Allen never had the ball back, people felt like it's Mahomes and Josh Allen. But to me, the real rivalry in the AFC is Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. And the other great leader that rallies his troops is Joe Burrow. And like, I just, that's a thing when you look to the next 10 years of football with Patrick Mahomes is it's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. It's Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. That's the two guys that are going to be battling for the top of the AFC, in my opinion. And I couldn't be more excited about it because it's going to be legendary battles for years and years to come. And then occasionally Herbert or Josh Allen will challenge him too.
So I just want to prepare. I think we should talk about, BetterHelp, and then I'm going to give you the lowdown from my sources on the corn dog shuttle.
The corn dog shuttle. Is that what they? I thought it was just corn dog.
Shuttle
also part of the name of that play?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at BetterHelp.com/Schaumler. Strong Opinion Sports is sponsored by BetterHelp. I want to talk about this a little bit because to me, BetterHelp is my dream sponsor. It's actually a sponsor I've been wanting for years and years and years. I've always done the speech, you know, if you're struggling, go get help. And I talk about my brother Zane, who February 8, 2016 was a really dark day in my life and my dad's life. My brother committed suicide. And I've always wished that Zane had spoken up and gotten help rather than suffering in silence. And so I just encourage you, if you're struggling, go get help. Please go get professional help from somebody. And the reason why BetterHelp is a dream sponsor to me is because in America, unfortunately, therapy is really hard to come by. It requires finances and a lot of insurance, and there's all this nonsense. And it frustrates me so much that people getting the help they need psychologically is put behind this wall and walled off to a lot of people. And to me, BetterHelp is great because it makes therapy affordable, or much more affordable than a traditional form of therapy. And to me, that's a godsend. That's what the world really needs. And so this is my favorite sponsor I've ever gotten in my entire life. It's very meaningful to me. If you're struggling, go get help and literally go use BetterHelp. And it's, as a guy who's gotten therapy myself, BetterHelp is so much cheaper than every other alternative out there. And if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Schaumler. Get 10% off your first month. So using this promo code, you can make it even cheaper. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/Schaumler. I want to hear from my dad. What do you say about BetterHelp, Dad?
I think it is amazing for people to have a resource to find a counselor near them, a therapist near someone that will help them. I've had lots of counseling in my life that's been super helpful at different chapters for different things in my life. You mentioned Zane passing. After Zane passing, someone said I needed to go to a grief counselor, and I had taught grieving professionally. You had in your head when Zane passed the thing you'd heard me teach about grieving, and I thought, well, Okay, I guess I believe in counseling, and I've been through a traumatic event. I didn't have that word then, but I've been through a tough event. I'm deeply grieving. I might as well go to a grief counselor. It made sense, but I wasn't like, oh yeah, of course I need a grief counselor. Went to a grief counselor, and I was blown away at the things I learned and how incredibly helpful it was to see a specific counselor about a specific thing like grief. And so to have a sponsor that is all about that and that kind of mental health, you know, I talked to a young man this week, a content creator, and it was, they're younger like you, and they reached out to me, and we've talked in the past, and they were just peacefully saying, I've had some mental health issues lately, but I'm getting counseling, I'm dealing with it. And I was so thrilled that your generation is way healthier about all that than my generation and open to doing it. And so to have a resource that we can make available to people where they can get a good counselor to them, a good therapist to them, I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
I got to say, I would like to say this. One way that therapy helps me, and it's a thing I'm still working on. This is a thing I have not mastered yet. I try to be a very positive person, very kind. I treat other people very, very well. I have never left a negative YouTube comment in my entire life. I just don't do it. I don't know why anyone would. And yet I regularly deal with that where people say all this horrible, mean stuff to me. And not only I think you saw this guy, Ben, the other day said some awful stuff. And I imagine that, but also people DMing you that same stuff. That happens to me on Instagram all the time. People send me all kinds of, they think they know my life. They're telling me what to do, all this stuff. And I get almost like a feedback overload. That's why hanging out with Sanders and his friends at the Super Bowl is so cool, because it gave me hope in humanity again. Like, oh, there are nice people out there listening to my content, right? And therapy really has helped me, and I'm still working on it. It really bothers me when people are mean to me online. I don't understand it, because I'm never mean to anybody online. I try to be nice and kind and positive, and it hurts my heart a lot when people are mean to me. And so that's one way I've used therapy, and one thing I've been working on. And still I'm working on it. It's still a process for me. I still get hooked. It still bothers me. It hurts my heart. But I know that there are things out there that hurt other people, and that stuff you can deal with. And another thing out there is that if you get a therapist and you're not vibing, get the next one. Like, you can move on from one therapist to another. And I had to try like three or four before I found, it was three. I'm on number four now, before I found the one that worked for me. And I encourage people, it's okay to say this person and I aren't connecting. I need a different person. And eventually you find the right fit for you. But again, that's betterhelp.com/Shamla for 10% off your first month. And I'm absolutely thrilled. They are like literally my dream sponsor. Do you have anything else to say, Dad?
No, I just completely agree with your wisdom there. If you don't, just because you didn't connect with your counselor doesn't mean counseling or your therapist or doesn't mean counseling or therapy is not for you. It just means you didn't have a good connection with that person. Because I've been blessed to have some incredible therapists in my life that have been super helpful to me. And I don't know if I'd have been as real and transparent if I didn't have a connection with them. So I think that wisdom you shared is really good. You ready for the corn dog shuttle?
Yeah. Can I say one more thing? You mentioned our generation. And yeah. I try to, as a creator, share what I deal with, and it bothers me when people don't. Like, a lot of Instagram people are they don't openly talk about what they're going through, and I try to just share my highs and my lows, and for better or worse, I wish more people did that and were more open about what they're struggling with, rather than it's always great all the time, because it's not great all the time. So anyway, tell me about the corn dog shuttle. Is that what you said?
Yep. Well, I just want to, I agree. Like, when I do my, my Instagram stories, I try to be really transparent and real about the highs and the lows of my journey. And it feels safer to me to be real there, because it disappears magically after 24 hours. But I'm generally an encouraging, positive person. So when people only see my posts and then they start watching my story and I talk about having a rough day and struggles, I kind of like freaks them out at first, because they're not used to me sharing that. But I think it's really important that we normalize. That's why I did the post, on February 8th this year. You know, I struggled to post about Zane, but I did it because I want to normalize grieving. It's a process. And the past 2 years, 2020 and 2021, 2022, the anniversary of Zane's passing was as big a deal. This year, it was brutal. And that's kind of how grieving is. It's waves, it's highs, it's lows. And I want to normalize that. And so I think it's really important. You know, we all face hard times. We all have stuff. It's not all just beautiful, you know, tiptoe through the tulips.
And it's okay to need help.
Oh, it's way more than okay. I mean, we definitely need help. I have gotten help in so many different areas. I'm just grateful that's part of my journey. I don't think I would have survived my childhood if I hadn't gotten a lot of counseling in my 20s. I had like 4 or 5 years of counseling in my 20s to survive the misery in my childhood. Okay, corn dog shuttle. Now, the beauty of a myth, Zach, a myth or a legend, is there's truth in there somewhere. Like you've seen, have you seen any movies? You've seen Robin Hood movies, right?
Robin Hood? Yeah, I've seen Robin Hood.
Yeah, and you've seen King Arthur movies,
correct?
Right?
Yes.
And so there's some truth in there somewhere. I may not know what it is. I don't know. We really know what, but there's something that inspired it. So I'm going to share with you stuff that may actually be legend, and we may not actually know until we get Patrick Holmes 30 for 30. But I think I actually have a lot of fact in here.
Can I just take a side tangent real quick? I'm so sorry to derail you. But you mentioned legend, and it makes me think of dragons. Like, dragons exist in so many cultures everywhere, and I'm like, that came from somewhere, right? Like, it can't be possible that people in all different parts of the globe all have like dragons in their mythology and in their writing and their pictures and on their walls of like their caves and stuff. I'm like, where do they come from? I always like, that's the one that if there's a myth out there that I kind of like, what's the truth behind the myth? I want to know about dragons, because how did the Chinese and the British and the Native Americans and people all over the planet talk about dragons all independently? It makes no sense to me. And I'm like, I have so many questions. Sorry. I just had to throw it out there because my brain went there.
So this actually happened to me on Sunday, Super Bowl. This is real. I'm not making this up. One of the snacks I had was Sasquatch potato chips. They're like Tim's Cascade, you know, or Kettle, I got to get the picture of them, but I actually had, in fact, I'm going to look up the photo right now. You've never heard of this?
No, Sasquatch potato chips. No. I've never heard of that in my life. Are they good?
Oh, what flavor? Oh, yeah. Just a second. I'm almost here.
Are you
here.
Texting it?
Here we go. They are, they're Tim's Cascade style Sasquatch surprise potato chips, and yes, they tasted exactly like Bigfoot. It was incredible.
I don't want to eat Bigfoot. That sounds horrible. I would imagine he's moldy and smelly. He's like a sloth in my head. He's always been that kind of character to me.
No, he moves way fast.
That's why we've never seen him. He's so fast, you've never seen
Bigfoot
him.
Bigfoot move.
Anyway, you're talking about corn dog or something.
That's right. Yes, the corn dog shuttle. I'm trying to send you these things and it won't let me. Oh, well, I can't figure that out. I'm not that smart enough right now. To Zag. Send. There we go. Okay, it's texty. Okay, corn dog shuttle. So there's some truth in here. I think actually truth in there. So do you know where that, so that was, there was two plays, that play and then the next time that when Sky Moore scored a touchdown, that was the Tent F shuttle play. Very, very similar to the corn dog shuttle, but not the exact same play. But you know where the Chiefs allegedly got the idea from that from?
Where?
They were playing the Buffalo Bills week 5 road game during the 2021 season. The Buffalo Bills were leading 30-20 and they ran a play almost exactly like it. And so then the next year they start practicing the next year, the Chiefs do, they're going to make their own play with it and they start running it. And basically it's a, you know, it's a corner drag play. And so corner drag kind of taken down to be corn. And because they like food, drag became dog. And then the coaches like to have airplane stuff. And since in this play, you run in and then you run back out to where you just came from, right? And what airplane does that? What airplane goes back where they came from? The space shuttle. And so that's what became the corn dog shuttle. And there was a tendency they observed on the defenses, they would over pursue, they would kind of cheat a little and bite on it. When someone goes off, they all take off, and that gave them the advantage. And so that was easy for the game plan, which is a brilliant game plan to call that play for the Chiefs to, he turns and snap it before the guy can adjust back. And that's why you had someone wide open. And then they did it on the other side to mess with someone on the other side. And I think they just weren't prepared for it.
Yeah, it's...
And it's a very similar looking play, but the second one is allegedly called, if my sources are right, they called me, you know, last night after the game to go over it. We had about an hour session, Tent F Shuttle.
So you're...
And I just, those, that play, go ahead.
Well, no,
That play, when that first one happened, that's what, like, okay, that's it. They are going to win this game. That, those two plays, I think, and the amazing field goal return that
the punt return by Kadarius
Toney had. Yes, I think those are the things that really made the difference for them incredibly well. And I think that was coaching. That was incredible. The, whoever called those two plays at that moment, at that point, was a group decision, whoever did it, I think that just totally, and there was, the defense is not prepared. Not at all.
So Philly's coaching staff, this kind of falls on Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, to some degree. All year on film, you're trying to fight your tendencies where you see stuff. Hey, you know, we're putting ourselves at risk with this tendency where we're not switching and going to the flat, little things like that. Philadelphia caught on to something that, sorry, Kansas City caught on to something Philly wasn't doing very well. And Philly wasn't prepared and didn't even seem aware of that flaw in their system, that they had this tendency to overpursue and not play the flat and not switch there. And it goes to coaching, really, too. It's a hard thing to be aware of every little thing you're doing wrong. But all year you watch film and you go, you know, hey, I know it worked this time, but we got to switch there. Like, there are times you get away with something. And it's the kind of thing on film where you see Philly probably got away with it all year. And clearly it was a weakness for them. And the coaches probably didn't fight hard enough to say, like, no, we really can't do that. We have to do a better job of switching and getting to the flat. And Casey exploited that. And it's kind of, it's unfortunate, but those little tiny details, it really does matter. Like, baseball gets called the thinking man's game all the time. And that's just not true anymore. To me, football is the ultimate thinking man's game. There's so much strategy and it's really, there's so much chess behind the scenes that goes on. And that's a small way that Andy Reid is just like, the best we've ever seen at chess, man. He's just so good at exploiting defenses.
And I one of the things I thought as I was watching the game, and I almost texted it to you, is I really think that halftime adjustments are going to be a big issue. And I knew for certain that the Chiefs were going to do halftime adjustments, and I wondered what kind of halftime adjustments the Eagles were going to do. And it seems like, and it makes sense to me, I'm not being critical, that the Eagles made no defensive halftime adjustments, but they kind of didn't need to. The first half, they were dominating. And so they kind of didn't make any. It's almost like they needed to call a timeout, you know, halfway through the third quarter and make their and make their adjustments
well,
then.
The Eagles defense wasn't really on the field in the first half. Like, the Eagles defense, there's so few opportunities. Like, Patrick Mahomes was 7-for-10 or something at halftime. Like, he barely threw the football.
And so I just think that it's just, it's unfortunate that this, it just seemed like they just played terrible. They just played terrible the second half. And I just, I was feeling bad about how the defense was playing before that play, before that touchdown. I just didn't feel good about it. And I just wonder, you know, I saw a report that that Gannon today's Monday night, we're recording this, so we're recording the day after the Super Bowl. And that's a report that Monday morning he's going to be interviewing with the Arizona Cardinals so he can go there and lose games and be their head coach. And if that's already scheduled, I just wonder if he was distracted. You know, and he's got, the game's over and he's got to leave and get on a plane and get to Arizona or get on a private jet and get to Arizona in the morning or something. And I just wonder if he was distracted. I don't know, but I was disappointed in the defense.
I wonder if Jonathan Gannon just stayed in Arizona. Super Bowl is here.
Oh, he's already there. You're right.
Weird is that for a guy to not fly home with the team? You know, it's interesting. I guess you go your separate ways after the Super Bowl is over, but it's interesting. Like, he just stayed. I'm sure he stayed in Glendale area.
Yeah, I didn't mean fly. I knew he was in Arizona. I misspoke. Yeah. But I just think that was already obviously scheduled, and so it was already in his head. I just wonder, was he distracted? I don't know. Because did you think that the defense played? Do you think that the Chiefs' offense was amazing, or do you think the Eagles' defense fell down?
Yeah, to me, it's a bit of both. I think it's both deserve equal credit. Like, the Chiefs just at some point in the last 2 weeks saw some stuff on film they could exploit. And they were aware of it, and Philly wasn't. And that comes down to it's the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. I got a great comparison. I always wonder about this because you see coaches playing in the Super Bowl that are also scheduling interviews to become head coaches and do all this stuff. I hate it. And it's not college football. in college football, you leave and you get a bowl game, but you skip the bowl game because you get into recruiting immediately. Hey, there's no recruiting in the NFL in February. So why are you in such a hurry to leave the team you're on to go to the next opportunity? I think out of respect, if a team's going to hire, if I'm the defensive coordinator playing in the Super Bowl and a team wants to hire me, I say, hey, you got to respect me here. I'm playing in the Super Bowl. Let's talk afterward. If you really want to hire me, great. But like, if I was coaching in the Super Bowl, I'd say, talk to me after the Super Bowl. Let's figure this out later. I'm fully focused on this. And that's what I would want from a guy who hires my head coach. I want absolute focus. So I've never understood why that happens. Like,
So some people would say that's exactly what Gannon did. So I just want to clarify. You mean my umbrage is Gannon probably already had the appointment set. You're saying Gannon shouldn't even talk to them. Tell his agent, look, do not talk about any offers until after the Super Bowl. You can call me a half hour after the game's over. So you're saying what Gannon did is not what you're talking about. You're talking about Gannon shouldn't even know about that offer until the game's over.
Yeah, I'd say like
the interest.
Or like, hey, the team reaches out. Tell my agent, great, tell them to talk to me after the Super Bowl. Hang up the phone. I'd be so aggressively like, don't talk to me till after the game. If you want to hire, like, why would you want to hire someone who's potentially going to have divided attention in a massive moment? Am I making sense? Like, the Cardinals want to find a head coach. Great. But do you want to find a head coach who may or may not be distracted in the biggest moment of their lives? Like, I've never understood that. Like, why? It's maybe not possible because it's a business. You got to hire the right guy, all this stuff. But I've never understood why NFL teams can't just leave the coaches that are coaching in the Super Bowl alone. Like, and
well, I understand why they won't leave them alone because they're in it for themselves. Yeah. The Cardinals could care less about the Eagles. They want their coach.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, I kind of understand there's millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line, but why the agent can't say, hey, he's willing to talk to you after the Super Bowl.
The team would respect that.
I would just tell my agent, look.
I would think a team.
Some teams would. Some teams will hire someone else.
But if you don't respect me playing in the Super Bowl, I don't want to work for you. Does that make sense? Like, if I'm going to be employed by you, you better respect that I'm playing in the biggest game of my entire life. Screw off for a couple weeks. Let's talk afterward. If you really want me that bad, we'll still figure it out after the Super Bowl. And if you hire the next guy, that's great. But I'm fully focused on my mission. The best analogy I can make, I played quarterback in college, and there was a quarterback at a rival college who made these like game day vlogs. Like the day of the game, he was making a YouTube video and filming it and all this stuff. And I hated it. I'm like, dude, you're playing in a game. Like, you should be focused on the game, not the video. And he was the backup quarterback for a reason, because he was always distracted and doing all this other crap. And he went on this tangent one time talking about how I was totally wrong and all this stuff. I'm like, dude, I can't fathom how you're not more focused on the production of a YouTube video than the game, the day of your game, if you're making a video about it. I've always hated that stuff. And I just, maybe it's because I have tunnel vision. I can only focus on one thing at a time, but I never understand why coaches allow themselves to do all this. Like, you're flying out the Monday of the Super Bowl, like, because there were coaches interviewing leading up to the Super Bowl too. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, I would be in the film room working and preparing. This only going to happen once. I don't know if that makes any sense. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to criticize what another man does. And you're also maybe winning a Super Bowl is a similarly once in a lifetime opportunity to becoming an NFL head coach. But I just, man, I don't know. I would want to win that big game, and I would not want to let anything else distract me from that sole focus.
So a preview of our next episode that we talked about. I really hope that Gannon goes to Arizona, because the best thing Carl Lemieux could have is a defensive-minded head coach. How great is that for him? But next episode, 540, we're going to talk about, hopefully it'll be next few days, there'll be a lot of positions down, coaches we talk about, and we're going to get to something I absolutely love. I know it causes you some heartburn, but YouTube comments. You mentioned Ben Benjamin. We're going to break down his stuff. We're going to just spend 3 or 4 minutes on it. But since he commented on Strong Opinion Sports, man, I'm ready to give my perspective on it. You can just smile and nod and say, my dad's out of his mind. He's a lunatic. I'm sorry. And I know that for you, a lot of your deep personal stuff you cover on Zach Schaumler Talking. That's your YouTube channel and podcast. You know, I'm old, so I think it's a YouTube show and a podcast, which means people can watch Zach Schelmer talking on YouTube, or they can listen to it. They can find it on a podcast outlet like iHeartRadio or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. So you put a lot of personal stuff on Zach Schelmer talking, but we'll spend a few minutes on Ben's comments. There is a I hate to say this, I can't, but there is a cool, amazing Dallas Cowboys fan that I want to talk about that's made some comments lately that actually like makes me feel good about the Cowboys. I can't believe I'm saying that. So we'll have fun talking about personnel moves and you at Strong Opinion Sports YouTube comments. And by the way, if you're a if you listen on a podcast, if, go ahead.
What? It sounds like you're wrapping up. Let me say this. We'll talk about
not the show. No, not so. I was just giving a preview of next week, cool. And then I was going to talk about some fun things.
Okay.
But if you listen on a podcast and you feel left out, it's like, I'm not going to go on YouTube and comment. I listen on Apple or Spotify or iHeartRadio. You can go to the Strong Opinion Sports YouTube or Instagram account, and you can leave comments there. And if you leave snarky comments there, I'm happy to respond and occasionally tackle some of them on the show. Because while it causes Zach heartache, I actually love it. I think it's fun sport. Just don't criticize my hair, man. I can't handle it. That would be too much for me. All right. Did you ready to talk about, some of the, your favorite commercials or do you have some else football?
No,
part for me, the Super Bowl.
I want to talk about commercials. I want to talk about the halftime show. Like I'd love to talk about Brian Flores if we get to it, cause we didn't last week and I feel guilty we didn't talk about it last week, but if we don't get to Brian Flores, it's fine. We got to talk about the halftime show.
We can get to him next week. To him next week. Okay. Yeah. Now you've gotten in trouble in the past for talking about halftime shows. So you be careful.
What can I say? We were watching the Super Bowl, Sanders and his friends. And these are people that got master's degrees in music. These are people that like know music really well. They also agreed that The Weeknd wasn't a legendary performance and he sounded terrible. So I don't care. I made up that video, got like 100,000 views. I got attacked for criticizing The Weeknd Super Bowl performance. I will die on this hill forever. It wasn't an all-time great performance. It was fine. It sounded terrible, and it was cool production to see. And his aim, he spent a lot of money, and it was hard with the Rona. But what can I just say that Rihanna killed it? Rihanna was un-freaking believable. It was simple. It was beautiful. I like that there was no gimmicks. There was no like guest star. I thought Justin Timberlake was going to walk out maybe, and there was none of that. Like it was just Rihanna sounding incredible and dominating. And that's my favorite Super Bowl performance I've ever seen. It actually beat out the one last year with Eminem and 50 Cent and Dr. Dre. Last year was great, but more gimmicky. This year's Super Bowl performance was just like, it was like vanilla. It was like the best vanilla ice cream we've ever had. It was perfect. It's like, we don't need all this crazy nonsense. We just need Rihanna sounding amazing on what looked like a Smash Bros. Stage. And I like the puffy jackets, but to me, it was incredible. She sang every song I love by her. She sounded amazing. I want to hear your opinion, but to me, this was my all-time favorite Super Bowl. And it actually, Super Bowl halftime show, and it actually beat out last year, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah, I think the idea that it'd be out last year is you're out of your ever-loving mind, but that's okay. I loved last year, and that's not even necessarily my primary style. I liked that music last year. I don't know it as well as other styles of music, but I absolutely loved last year when 50 Cent came out of the rafters and unfurled himself hanging upside down. Come on, that is amazing. I absolutely loved last year. Now, you've seen the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes. With Gene Wilder.
Yeah, it just seemed to me, Gene Wilder, yeah, I was just chuckling the whole time because it just seemed like she was dancing with a bunch of Oompa Loompas. That's where my head went. I thought it was hilarious. I saw this really cool meme. They had a little beam, elevated beam with a little red gummy bear on top. And then down below, they had a bunch of white marshmallows. And it just cracked me up and made me laugh.
Her marshmallows.
I like her music. I love she played a lot of the songs I know and that I enjoy. Some of her, I've got a playlist, my motivational playlist, and like Shine Like a Diamond is on that motivational playlist. I got, I don't know, like 32 hours. I got, you know, hundreds of songs on there, and I play it when I'm discouraged or when I'm encouraged. And so some of her songs are on that playlist. So I hear that occasionally. So I liked it, but it was, to me, it was just boring. It was just, and it was a little bit nervous because, you know, okay, finally, when I saw that she was literally like chained in, hooked in, you know, like safety, okay, then I'm not too worried about her falling. But it's okay. She sang and danced around. And then she came down and then she went back up. And it's like, oh, to me, eventually I was ready for something else. I was ready for, can we like have an outfit change? Like, I usually don't even think these things. Can we have an outfit change? Can we have a guest star? I eventually just got bored.
Oh man.
I was like, yeah, I enjoyed it, but eventually I just got bored. To me, just like the same thing over and over and over.
I couldn't disagree more, man. It was such, the simplicity was beautiful to me. And the focus was her vocals. Like, she sounded incredible. And it was, to me, it was all about her performing. And I really liked that was the forefront of the performance. It wasn't gimmicky. There wasn't this guest star. There wasn't this music change. It was just Rihanna being her incredible self. And maybe the only gimmick was she's up like however many like feet up in the air. But that was
terrifying.
Insane. But I just fell in completely the opposite direction. I really loved how straightforward it was and simple it was. And the background dancers, by the way, killed it. Like, I don't know how much of the budget went to paying them, but they were incredible. I actually thought that their little mushroom costume, whatever you call it, was captivating. I really appreciated that design, because if they were just wearing white, it would have been a lot less interesting than this weird puffy stuff they were wearing. I thought it was fun. And I just totally disagree with you. I really loved it. And it was, for me, there's such a value in great vocals that sound really, really good. And it's hard to sound good live in that situation. And she just sounded unbelievable. And I like, Katy Perry didn't sound that good live. Maroon 5 certainly didn't sound that good live. You know what I mean? Like, she was amazing. And I really, really value just this, the clear, beautiful performance that sounds really good live. That's just really rare to see.
The simplicity spoke to you.
And she sounded good. Like, how many concerts have you been to where the person doesn't sound good live?
Now, Zach, it seemed to me with my eyeballs, I watch it with my own eyeballs, that some of the times her mouth would quit moving and the singing would continue.
Well, yeah.
So I think that there was at least,
definitely,
there, she was lip syncing. So it wasn't a live performance.
You ever seen, like,
maybe,
I've seen,
which is okay. But
I've seen Post Malone live, and there are always our backing vocals that are you being played too. Like, but it's a mix of both. And I don't know, someone else who knows more about this can dissect that. But
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Would you like a good stat? Would you like a good halftime show stat?
Oh, I can't wait for this.
This is
going to be hilarious, I'm sure.
Yeah. This is Fox Sports reached out to me. They're my source for this. Sometimes I name my sources.
Yeah, they post on Instagram.
113 million viewers for the Super Bowl. Rihanna's halftime show, 118.7 million. So allegedly, if this is to be believed, she had more people watching than the Super Bowl had.
Doesn't surprise me. Like, I'll tell you what, Austin, the music director, yeah, he was more excited about Rihanna than the game. You know what I mean? Like,
and I still think it's crazy. I just think it's insane. I think it's a slap in the face and disgraceful that the NFL does not pay the halftime artists. They don't get paid. I don't know about the dancers, but Rihanna, if I understand correctly, was not paid.
No, she's given a budget to work
with. I understand it.
It sucks.
Right, but she should get a check. They should not use her services for free. I just think that is terrible. And yes, they give her a big stage, the biggest stage in the world, literally. And yes, she'll have a bazillion downloads. And yes, it'll be beneficial to her. But to not pay her when you're the freaking NFL, to me, that's just disrespectful.
You can't give her $5 million? You know you got it. Yeah, you're right.
How about even a million? Just something, because you're the NFL. It just seems disrespectful. And I know I'm not saying it's not tremendously beneficial to the artist, to the tune of probably millions and millions of dollars. To me, it's the point of the thing. And you know, as a self-employed person, as a content creator, people all the time come and say, hey, we want you to do something for free for the publicity. And it's like, well, you're not going to give me any publicity. And I've discovered it's actually better to get checks than publicity. And so just kind of but anyways, so I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Can I say what stuck out to me watching the Super Bowl? So the games in the NFC and AFC title championship games 2 weeks ago were so much about football, right? And like, if you love football, I think the AFC championship game is probably a better game than the Super Bowl to watch, because fans are there and it's a bit cold weather. And I really like that. But I really, for, I've been watching the Super Bowl my whole life, but watching with strangers effectively and kind of seeing the way that their group of friends all come together to watch the Super Bowl kind of hit me like how much this is just like this special event that we do in America. Like it really, I know that in my head, but I learned it in my heart this year. Like seeing this group of friends come together to enjoy the game and make food and have a party. And it really, can I say it makes me proud to be an American? Like it's kind of this cool thing we do that there's this like, say what you want about football. You can criticize the NFL all you want, but like we all congregate. And I went to the gym before going to Super Bowl. I was at the gym about an hour before the game started and the gym was empty. Like no one was there. And the workers kind of like didn't want to be there either. Like everyone in America tunes in for this thing, and not everyone, but you know, a massive, like a third or more than a third of us tune in to watch this game. And it's kind of special. It's kind of cool. It makes me just, I don't know. I like that we do this special thing together. It's the world has the World Cup and we have the Super Bowl and this is our thing. And I think it's better. And I love it, man. It's a really, on top of the game being such a focus, it's also this cool moment of us all collaborating, coming together. And I think it's beautiful and really cool.
Yeah. It's the artists, it's the football, it's the food, it's the friends, it's the guys. It's a cultural experience.
Yeah. Much more. It's not just a game.
Yeah.
Where 2 weeks ago was about the game.
Yep. Yeah. Almost as good as an F1 race, really.
Would you go to an F1 race?
Yes, I would attend an F1 race live, particularly if we can be like hosted and sponsored. I have a cool place to take photos and I get free food. Yes.
The food is definitely great at an F1 race.
But I want to be sponsored and I want them like make, and I'll take nice photos for them. It'll be amazing. We'll make cool TikToks. It'll be great. But no, do I want to sit at home and watch an F1 game? No, I definitely do not.
Not even for like good food?
I think I'd rather watch reruns of Stranger
Good food couldn't even like pull you in?
I don't know if it could be good enough to just watch on TV.
I think live. So I'd go to an F1 race anywhere, like anywhere. Austin, Texas, I don't care.
I want to go to the one
there's
in Monaco.
One in I was going to say, there's one in Vegas next year. That'll be pretty cool. I would go to that one. But the one in Monaco
is
that might be the most exclusive event. The Super Bowl is very corporate, and I believe it. You know, I saw things I couldn't believe in Scottsdale, Arizona this week. I'm like, you're here? You're here? Like, I saw a lot of famous people that kind of blew my mind that were attending the Super Bowl, but Monaco for the F1 race is even more exclusive and even more billionaires, and it's all like insanity. That race is like, if we could ever like scam our way into going to that race, I would have, it'd be unbelievable.
No, we should the Raiders should invite us to come out to, they give us a tour of the stadium and have us out for the F1 races, you know, that would be fun. That'd be good. Or the F1 people, they can reach out to me. They could, my email's out there, and I'll coordinate and make sure Zach Schelmer gets there, and I'll take a lot of your photos.
Can I share my favorite commercial?
Yes. By the way, I saw LeBron James at the Super Bowl.
So did I on TV. Okay. Like, let's not act like, come on, man. You're killing me. That's such a dad joke. That's the most dad joke ever. So I didn't know, the Flash movie has been talked about for a long, long time. And we were actually in Hawaii. Remember when Ezra Miller was like going off the deep end and like getting in fights? We were like in the Puna district as well. Like when he was like getting arrested, we were in Hawaii on the Big Island when he was doing that. And Ezra Miller, the guy who plays Flash, kind of went off the deep end. And I knew the movie was happening, but I'm like, how am I going to care about this movie? Like, it's not going to be interesting. And then I saw the trailer and I didn't realize the movie included not only Ben Affleck as Batman, but apparently Michael Keaton. And that was like, what? It was so exciting to me. Maybe my favorite part of the Super Bowl, like the moment that made me have more emotion than anything, was seeing Michael Keaton as Batman. I'm like, what in the world? Are you kidding me? What? Not when Jalen Hurts fumbled, not when Kadarius Toney had a 65-yard punt return, but seeing Michael Keaton as Batman was the moment that made me go like, wait a minute, what's happening in this Flash movie? And suddenly I was excited to watch a movie that I had knew existed but didn't care about until that moment.
Yeah, I just, Ezra Miller just to me seems an absolute lunatic, and I didn't understand why Disney just didn't dump it. And recently when James Gunn said that it's going to be the launching off point, the chapter that opens up the new DC universe he's putting together, that made sense because it's Flashpoint. I kind of knew what the story
might be.
Reset
everything.
You may not know what Flashpoint. Yeah, reset everything. And so we're like, okay, that makes sense, but I still think Ezra Miller's a nut. I don't even know if I want to watch it.
Well, they already filmed it. Like, you can't refilm. I don't know. You can't refilm a whole
movie.
Right,
but you don't have to promote it. And so I was like, when it first came on, I went, oh crap. It's like for the first 1 second, I'm like, oh crap, not this. For me, there was a lot of nostalgia in the Super Bowl. Like I got teary a couple different times, but 1989, I saw Michael Keaton, you know, Batman in the theaters. And he says in there, I'm Batman. And then he's iconic in your generation. I think it was May 12th, 2018. He's at Kent State University, and he's giving a commencement speech. I think you've seen this clip. I bet you have, where he says, and I'm going to leave you two words, by the way, that'll carry you through, remember you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I'm Batman. And then when I'm watching this thing, and I see that Barry Allen is talking to Barry Allen, and the other Barry Allen has clothes that are the Reverse Flash's clothes, his yellow, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Is the other Barry Allen going to be Reverse Flash or Red Death, or what's going to happen here? Is he going to be one of the bad guys, the other Barry Allen? And we'd already saw Ben Affleck. And then when Michael Keaton comes out, and he comes walking out, and his cowl is very distinctive. And then when he says, you're right, I'm Batman, I almost started crying. I mean, I teared up. I was so moved. I probably sound like a lunatic, but like, this is incredible. And we've got Zod, and we've got Supergirl. I was like, oh my goodness. I was flying my comic book nerd flag hard right then. It was incredible.
Yeah, there was that. There was Creed, like, 2 wasn't as exciting to me, but seeing Creed with the guy, I think Kang the Conqueror is the actor from, I believe, Loki, and then also Ant-Man and the Wasp. He's playing, like, the villain in the new Creed movie. That was really cool to see. I really liked the commercial with the woman playing flag football. That was really fun. Like, her mom tries to tackle her in the kitchen. That I love that. That was a great commercial. And by the way, side note, and this is not me trying to like be PC, this is just like legitimate, women's flag football is very entertaining to watch. I watch it on Instagram all the time. I'm like, oh, that's like really cool. So I don't know, kind of fun. It's actually an official sport now in Arizona, which I didn't know till yesterday. Any other commercials stood out to you that blew your mind?
Yeah, two things. Just I didn't watch much of the pregame, but two things just before the game started. I guess I knew this, but it just hit me. They had a longer commercial. It was not technically a Super Bowl commercial. The kickoff hadn't happened yet, but they had a long commercial that YouTube has. What do they call it? The NFL.
Sunday Ticket, I think is what it's called.
Sunday Ticket. Yeah, NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube, and it was like so cool. And I'm like, wow. This really is life changing. There are going to be a lot of people signing up for that. I want to sign up for that. I don't have to have a stupid satellite. I can just watch it right through my TV. YouTube on my TV already. That was pretty mind blowing to me to think about. Wow, this is really cool. I was really excited.
It's a change
about that.
For the positive for sure. Like it's going to make that so much more accessible. It's really exciting to me.
And then the other thing that was just before the game started is they had who's the gentleman that got hurt for the Bills? I'm drawing
DeMar Hamlin.
DeMar Hamlin was out on the field with all the people around him that from the hospital and that saved his life on the sidelines, and they gave a tribute. And man, I teared up then. It's like it was so much like this guy. I watched this guy die on the field, and these people brought him back and then saved him at the hospital and have all of them there. That was really, really moving. And then Nick Sirianni crying, the singing of the national anthem. That was pretty moving to me.
How can you not love him? How can you not love Nick Sirianni? Like
he's just all heart.
Yeah.
Man.
And it's so genuine to like the little boy in him is like, I'm in the Super Bowl. This is really happening. And then to coach your ass off afterward. Like I how do you not love that? You know, that's so cool.
How do you think, just early, way early, super, how do you think they're going to do next year?
Oh, they're going to bounce back.
Better or worse than?
You said it earlier.
Usually,
the way they answered questions and the way they handled everything and didn't make excuses. And I would even not be shocked if Jason Kelce, their center, has been thinking about retiring, comes back next year and says like, hey, I'll give you 17 games. Like, you're not going to get me very much at practice. I'm not banging my body up, but I'll play every game. Like, I really could see, I think Philly's going to be back with a vengeance next year. And I think it's not very often to see a player take a lesser contract to keep the band together. Jalen Hurts is one of the people I could see doing that, you know, and part of why that doesn't happen is because agents are the more a player gets paid, the more an agent gets paid. So the agents are always vying for the player to take as much money as seemingly possible. But I really think it's very possible we see Jalen Hurts take a team friendly deal in pursuit of another contract. You give him $80 million, he's set for life. I think Jalen Hurts has the vision to see like long term and say, if I take an $80 million contract, we can go fight for another Super Bowl. I'm going to have my job for years and years to come. I'll make more money long term if I take less money now. And I really believe that Jalen Hurts is the kind of person that just has the vision and the desire to win and will take a pay cut or a lesser contract. I think the Eagles are going to be back.
Yeah, my early predictions for teams, potential teams, the Super Bowl, Eagles, Chiefs, and Bengals. Those are my three so far. Mm. Okay, and then another commercial I liked was Ben Affleck, Dunkin' Donuts. I thought that was just hilarious. And then his wife comes through, J-Lo comes through. I absolutely love that commercial. And she's, get me a glaze. Yeah. That Tubi commercial with the rabbits, the big rabbits kidnapping people and throwing them into a hole, that was just disturbing.
Do you remember the other one where the Tubi commercial was like, it like switched the app? It looked like someone had hit the remote. That's one that got me. I was like, who's doing that? And we all looked at each, the whole room at the party was like, who has a remote? Who's messing with it? And then we're like, oh, none of us do. It's just, that's the commercial. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, that actually, like, I don't know quite what Tubi is, but I don't want giant rabbits coming after me, and I don't like someone screws with the channel. So, like, I am now anti-Tubi. They had the exact opposite effect with me. It's like, no Tubi in my house. I'm not into Google Drive. I don't like Excel spreadsheets, and I don't like Tubi. That's the third thing. Yeah. What?
I'm an You're old such man. You're such an old man, dude. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. I'm a curmudgeon. I love the Fast and Furious 10 the trailer came out a few days ago, but they gave part of just a little part. Why are you giving me this look? It was so cool. Did you not see him driving his car down the side of a dam? That you didn't take one thing from me. You didn't take my car, and he drives off the dam and drives down the side of the dam. How amazing was that?
I saw a meme today where Harry Potter was
Dominic Toretto. Come on.
Yeah, no, I get it. I used to love Fast and Furious. The more outlandish it gets, the more they lose me. I'm just like, it's the war of escalation. And I wish I could get excited for a Fast and Furious movie anymore, but I watched the last one and I laughed the whole way through. And I wish I'd had lots of drugs to watch it. Cause I was just like, man, this is like, it's so insane now. There's a movie called Moon Crash about the moon, like hitting the earth. And it's like the worst written movie I've ever seen. And I put Fast and Furious movies down in the same category as that movie. That's just like weird, terribly written mess.
But didn't they take a Pinto into space last time in movie 9?
I don't even remember, man.
They took some kind of old car into space. That was incredible. That was engineering marvel.
So yeah, I
didn't
want to say that. It might have been a spoiler, but I think it was in the trailer. The minute they put a car in space, I'm like, I'm never watching this ever again. I'm like, I'm so done. I would have been happy if they ended with that awesome Wiz Khalifa song and Brian riding off into sunset. And they feel like they kept just, they add more and more legendary actors and I get less and less interested in every movie.
Oh, Dominic Toretto driving his car down the face of a dam. That was funny. Family. I was laughing. I just look at it as fun. Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, Iron Man can say that we have a Hulk. Toretto says we have family.
There's a
family trumps.
There's
the Hulk
a meme going around of Harry Potter, like Voldemort, or someone's challenging Harry Potter, and he's like, "I have the best wand," and then he's like, "What do you have, Dominic Toretto?" And Dominic Toretto's like, "I have family," and Harry Potter starts crying because his family's dead.
And then that is hilarious. And then the last thing I saw that also just it was super short, but it warmed my heart. Nostalgia up the wazoo. Do you know what I'm about to talk about?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's probably the beginning of this movie. It's probably the greatest theater movie experience I've ever had in my life. 1981. Raiders of the Lost Ark. You're sitting in a theater. It's toward the beginning. And then this big rock is rolling down, chasing this guy who has this whip. We never know who this character is. And it was so iconic. And that rock was like coming right at you in the theater. It was absolutely, it was a movie, may not have Raiders of the Lost Ark. It came out in the late 1900s. I saw it in the theater. It was just incredible. It just probably tied for Star Wars, seeing Star Wars in the theater, but just blew my mind. And to see that little tiny trailer, little tiny blip, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Sala's back. You've got the similar kind of line. Why are you here? I'm here to save you. And they fall out of the plane. I don't know, just warmed my heart. He's 70 years old or so and making those movies. That little clip, it just filled me with nostalgia. I loved.
You know what movies don't do anymore is that the epic theme song, the recognizable theme music. When I hear dun 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 da dun dun da, like I immediately like that's an indie, you know, and you just don't have movies that do that anymore, and it really breaks my heart. Like John Williams, who made Star Wars and Indy, and also I believe Jurassic World or Jurassic Park. I mean, like you just don't get many movies like that. Like Michael Giacchino made the Star Trek 2009 soundtrack, and that it's the only soundtrack on my phone. I love. Will always love the music in that movie, and I play it regularly when I'm sad. I play like a Star Trek theme song from that specific 2009 Star Trek movie, but it's very rare to get a legendary theme song anymore. And when that played in that trailer, I was like, ah, yes, I love it so much, man. I wish more movies did that.
Yeah, because that's part of that little clip, this little short they had also had the movie starting, so it was just absolutely phenomenal. And do you want me to, just as we close, do you want me to recommend a good, I've got a good soundtrack for you if you want. Probably the best soundtrack ever made.
Okay.
You ready? Sure. Yeah. It's the Karate Kid soundtrack. It's absolutely phenomenal. You've got You're the Best, Joe Esposito. You've got The Moment of Truth by Survivor. You've got No Shelter. You've got Bop Bop on the Beach. It's just so good. All of these songs, you gotta enjoy it. You gotta watch it.
My favorite.
You gotta listen
to
it.
I nothing will ever beat Star Trek 2009. There's a song on that soundtrack called "Enterprising Young Men," and like that, it gets me every time. I gotta give before we end the show. I gotta give a shout out to one more human being who is involved in the Super Bowl this year. I don't know how long this person's going to have his job moving forward. We know that for one more year, he's going to be doing what he's doing. Greg Olson did an outstanding job broadcasting during the Super Bowl. Greg Olson was phenomenal. And I love Greg Olson as a broadcaster. He really, Troy Aikman left to go to ESPN. I think Greg Olson's better, actually. And I know Tom Brady's the next guy up at Fox. He's going to take a year off of football and kind of learn and research. But I guess Tom Brady will probably be an upgrade because I just want to hear what Tom Brady sounds like, what he has to say about a football game. So it's really heartbreaking because Greg Olson's like truly, in my opinion, one of the best people alive doing, you know, commentary on football games. And it's really cool. And to see him do a Super Bowl and do so well was really cool. I don't know if you have a similar sentiment. Did you like hearing Greg Olson? I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I like it when I enjoy the announcer, but they don't get in the way of the game. And then they add to the experience. And he did exactly that. And I just think that, who's the guy over at CBS right now that's having
Tony Romo,
the former Tony Romo. So maybe Greg Olson can move over to CBS when they fire Tony Romo. Maybe he can go to Amazon. Amazon picks up more games eventually. I think Amazon's going to eventually be a bigger NFL partner because they're going to want live content. So I think Greg Olson has a future, may not be at Fox, but I think he has a future because a lot of people like what he's doing. And so he and Tom Brady would do the same exact thing, right? That's why they can't be on the broadcast together.
Yeah. And I just think that Brady's, as much as I love Greg Olson, I think he's probably the only other people I can think of being more interesting to watch talk about football are like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like there's so few. I've seen Drew Brees do commentary. He's not even as good as Greg Olson. Greg Olson's just phenomenal. Tom Brady being Tom Brady, you gotta put him on. Like I have to hear what Tom Brady has to say about football games, but Greg Olson has mastered the craft and he's gotta be one of the national broadcasters doing commentary. He's so dang good, and I just I'm blown away by him.
Yeah, I'm. Other than Tom Brady's just commitment to work hard and, like you literally said, the phrase "master his craft." I'm not sure that necessarily he's to me a natural fit for it. We'll have to see, but it doesn't matter because he has all the knowledge up here. I think we saw a little bit of his real persona and his people skills. His personality come out at the podium in Tampa Bay the past couple of years. So I think he has the personality, he has the knowledge, and he'll master the craft. I think Tom Brady will be phenomenal. I just don't know if he'll start out that way.
I would rather watch Tom Brady than Peyton. I've seen a lot of Peyton Manning do commentary, and Peyton Manning's kind of, he's got this kind of shtick that doesn't work for me. He's kind of got like a persona almost. I just want to hear Tom Brady say, like, that's why that's a good throw. Like, I can't wait for the day where Tom Brady just says, like, he teaches me about the game live. I know he's going to do that. His brain is just such a wealth of knowledge about football. Whereas Peyton Manning, when he does his own thing and he kind of likes to hang out and he's less about the game and more about this other nonsense and I don't really care about it. Where Peyton Manning's going to be, or sorry, Tom Brady's going to be a little more nerdy and more analytical. And that excites me, but it's just worth giving Greg Olsen a shout out. He's just clearly one of the best four or five people alive doing commentary of football games. And I really think he deserves a lot of respect and a special shout out because he's so good.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to our next episode. We'll have some NFL personnel moves to talk about. We'll talk about some YouTube comments. Maybe we'll have some Instagram comments. I can't protect you from weekend hating the weekend comments. That I can't save you from. But some of these other people, I'm happy to comment with them and have fun with it. I don't want to be a snarky jerk. But at the same time, I don't mind, you know, getting in there and responding to some of the comments.
You can hate on me for not liking the weekend Super Bowl performance. It's when people comment on my life and tell me how I should be living that I'm like, you don't know me. Like, get out of here. Next week we just missed it talking about the Vikings hiring a new defensive coordinator. We'll talk about it next week. So I just think this one's the Super Bowl. Next week, we need content. We'll talk about it next week. But there was an exciting hire that we'll talk about next week. That'll be pretty cool.
Yep, good. All right. Well, you have yourself an amazing week. I look forward to talking to you next week. Do your thing. Take us out of here.
All right, guys. Ba-dum-bum-bam. We are done.